All right, make friends with the problems in your life. This is something the world doesn't get, does it? If it's a problem, it's not a friend. And if it's ease and luxury, then it is a friend. But here's the fact for the Christian. Nothing in your life is random or mistaken. God is sovereign over everything. So, my encouragement tonight is to trust God in all situations, for it is in His power and in His heart to make it all a pattern for good. You know this from Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that an interesting phrase, the end there? You are called according to His purpose, called to be sons. The very next verse talks about being conformed to the image of Christ. They will be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, it's a family thing with God. So every problem can teach you something, transforming you little by little into the masterpiece God created you to be. In fact, God designs the difficulties in your life to strengthen you and build you. I felt really put off with the result of the election. It seemed to me like things were indicating that there was going to be a revival of common sense, of good thinking, of this is the right track, and looking for the red wave, I guess. And then, not so. And it just brought me back to the reality of things that we are facing in this United States, a very strong division between those who are committed to a theology and a doctrine of politics that will sacrifice babies on the altar of women's rights and blatant immoral behavior and call it a racial thing. That if you don't like that, if you take a stand against it, you're being something wrong with you. News was glorifying the first, what are the letters, LBGT, something. Person elected to the Indiana Assembly. Great. It's not a genetic thing. It's a choice of lifestyle. So you are called according to His purpose, and every problem can teach you something. James 1, 2, and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. Knowing this, that the trying, that is the testing of your faith, worketh patience. Patience, think of endurance, keeping on, getting through the struggle. How will you learn that if you don't have the struggle, you see? So count it all joy. You know, it couldn't be joy if it was random, if it was just something that was happening that you had no purpose to it. God's doing this. But, in fact, the very same problem can be a stumbling block for you if you react with doubt and defiance. This is where you're saying, I don't like this. You must choose. This is down to you, see? This is part of your growth. You'll have to choose many times each day to trust Him or defy Him. I'm talking about how you respond to the troubles, the problems in your life. Defy Him, see? You thought it was about you. But that path was given by Him. God never gives you a task or a temptation too hard for you. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Well, it's Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:13. there hath no temptation, this is that word trial again, taken you, but such as is common to man. Everybody faces this. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, the word meaning allow. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. That you don't give the child a growth task that you know he can't do. It might challenge him. It might wear him out. It might challenge his ingenuity, whatever, but he can do it. That's why you would give that child that job. He will not tempt you above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, not just to run away from it, that you may be able to bear it. You bear it when you get through it, when you, let's call it, solve the problem, or you outlast the problem. The best way to make the most of your problems, in my opinion, is to thank God for them. What? Welcome them as friends. Say, I didn't know I needed this, but you did. Thank you for this new challenge. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. If it was one word, everything, just a little too glib, I think, but every single thing. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. His will for you personally is facing this thing. So give thanks. It's been my experience that this simple act of thanksgiving clears your mind, staunches the panic attack, calms your mind, and allows you to handle the difficulty and even recognize the possible benefits coming from it. Now, you don't always need to recognize the possible benefits. The benefits will be there. I remember reading some British writers who were talking about the fact that when they were going to school, the big deal was learning Latin. And it was, you know, basically no more a spoken language then than it is now. But the man was going over, you know, at the time it was just a problem. At the time it was just unnecessary learning of things. When you're in the European area, it's like being in the United States and every state speaks a different language. You know, just cross the border and you're in a different language. So they're used to hearing lots of different languages and so on. But Latin, yeah. But he said the greatest benefit was realizing at the end I could do this. The benefit was that there was a training of mental discipline in it. So you don't need to recognize the benefit when you're going through it. Just recognize you've been called to that. Welcome it. Give thanks for it. And sometimes then you can find the possible benefits. So then, giving thanks, take each problem to Jesus. Ask his help to accomplish his purpose. Don't demand that he remove the problem. He may not remove the problem. You remember Paul and his thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Let's look, take two pages to get there. But lest I should be exalted above measure. To be absurdly proud is the idea here. Exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, because Christ had been talking to him, sharing with him new truth. Yeah, talk to the other guys at the Hardy's group, you know. Hey, talk to Jesus again. Really? He does that with you all the time, you know. Yeah, I guess so. You know, just imagine the temptation through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I think it's too easy to say this was his eyesight. It's pretty hard to imagine this as a messenger of Satan. He's using this metaphorically to refer to something. I don't know what it was. Lest I should be exalted above measure. This was something that kept him humble. It humbled him. I've often wondered if it was something about his eyes that made his eyes look bad when he was speaking. People are looking, is he okay? You know, I don't know what it was. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times. Separate asking. That it might depart from me. Verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is that thing that we recognize. We are painting, we are God's portrait to men. He puts us in a body that's the frame of the painting, and it's in our soul, in our life, that is the painting itself. And when something comes into that painting we don't understand, we don't like it, but we can say, he's the one doing it. We can make friends with it because it came from him. So, if this darkness in my painting puts the entire picture in a proper relief, proper balance, then something is enhanced by the problem I'm going through. He said, well, once I understood that, then he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My infirmities, being infirm, not firm. My weakness. What if I'm weak and it shows how strong God is? He says, I'll go for that trade. Me strong, God weak? No, I don't want that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. You know what he did? He made friends with his problem, didn't he? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. That's down where you're in need. In persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Strong for what? To show God to the world. And if that's your goal, embrace the problems. His grace and wisdom are sufficient to bring the good out in you through every one of the problems. It's a good lesson, isn't it? Maybe scary, but we've got to change the way we think about these things. They don't happen at random. God is in control. Comments, questions, confessions?